Thank you very much for inviting me to this wonderful, wonderful idea. And I hope even if one person gets one message and one thing will change because of it, because of my speech, then it would be worth it. So let me begin. I am, and everybody that has to do with Shidduchim are partners with Hashem. Who could ask for a better job than to be a partner, than to have Hashem be partner with us on this mission? Like, all day I'm doing Shidduchim, and Hashem is with me all day on the Shidduchim. Every day another idea comes into my head, and I go, Hashem, thank you. And who could wish for a better job than having Hashem as a partner? So it's an amazing, amazing job, and anybody could be a Shadchan. So you could have Hashem in your life alive every day. You could actually see and feel Hashem if you get involved in Shidduchim. And anybody could be a Shadchan because, as the new saying goes, if you see something, say something. You heard that one before? If you see something, you see someone, say something. Meaning, ask them, are you single? Oh, I might know somebody for you. Or ask about someone else. So let me get into what it is I want to share with you. What I found in the last 40 years that I am a Shadchan, 40 years I've been doing this, what I found is that when a Shidduch actually happens, it's like a split second. It's a timing. A Shidduch will come in the right time in a split second, just like when a newborn baby is being born. You can't make it go any faster or any slower in the natural way. The Eibshter has a certain time set for when that neshama has to come into the world. Just like that baby is born exactly when it's meant to, that's when a Shidduch will happen. Exactly the moment that it's meant to. That moment that Hashem wants those two people to meet, He will make it happen. And it's all about the timing. You hear a lot of that being said, like, yeah, the right time, the right one. But I mamash see it, and I'll give you a few examples. I walk into somebody's house one day, a few years ago. I was invited to a barbecue, and I didn't know the people much. And I say to the lady of the house, who's that girl there I see? Because, you know, I'm a Shadchan, so I notice all the singles. And she says, why, that's my daughter. I go, oh, nice. And as I'm looking at her, I go, you know, I might have an idea for her. I didn't even ask her name, where she's from, how old she is, even anything, nothing, not one question. I just said, I think I have somebody for her. And then I said to her, can I mention a name? And the name came into my head. I'm telling you, it's the Eibishter. Hashem says, these two people have to get together. Let me see, who can I give the job to? Toby is working on Shidduchim. I'll give her the idea. That's what I mean, that Hashem is a partner with you if you're working this, if you're in it. He will give us the ideas. We're not geniuses. It's impossible for people to match up people. It's like really impossible. But the Eibishter really comes to the party and He starts making it easy, gives ideas. And suddenly that idea worked. It was my nephew in Sydney, Australia, and this girl that was in Melbourne. I said, maybe Shmuley. And the mother says, I'll look into it. And bang, it worked. 2 weeks later, they're engaged. Like, where'd that come from? I didn't even ask her name. Like, that's all. So I'm just telling you that really all Shidduchim come from Hashem. And it's a certain time that things have to happen. I'll give you another example. I'm walking, this is 45 years ago, I'm walking past 770 with my husband, and a friend of mine is on the parkway. Her name's Etty, and I'm passing her by. She's coming towards me and my husband. We're just married. And as she's coming close to me, my husband says to me, hey, maybe you have a shidduch for my friend. He just said Shalom Aleichem to his friend. I said, and I just see this girl, Etty, across the street. I go, maybe Etty. Now, I don't know the guy he said Shalom Aleichem to. I don't know the friend. But he just happened to shake his hand right then in front of someone. And he says, Toby, maybe we have somebody from. And I see Etty across the street. I go, maybe Etty. Sure enough, it actually happened. I exchanged both, no profiles those days, but the information, and it worked. And they're marrying off all their children. They just married off the seventh child. Where'd it come from? It's like, I want to say it's like supernatural. It's l'fnei mishur hadin. It's not logical. That's what I want to say. When a shidduch happens, it's because those two neshamas have to meet. So we can't push it harder or faster than that time that it needs to happen. So if anybody's waiting a very long time, just know the Eibishter has something in store for you. It's going to happen. And when it actually happens, you're going to be so happy. You'll say, now I get it. Now I understand. It needed that certain time when I met that one and that knows that one, and it all comes together. Let me give you an interesting one that really happened. Honestly, I would not share it if it wasn't true. But I get from Chabad Match a few times a computer shidduch. You heard of the word algorithm? Where the Chabad Match puts all the information of the boys, the information of the girls into a computer. And the computer picks up most things that are similar. And it comes out with some ideas and sends it to Shadchanim. I get them sometimes. One day, it comes in my email one morning. This girl, Rivka, that lives in Sydney, and this boy, Chaim, from Canada, far away. The computer thinks it's a good idea, not even a Shadchan. So I look at it and I send it off to Rivka's mother and I say, listen, the computer thinks this is a good idea. Check it out. She says, wow, I know who they are. Hey, my husband went to school with his father. Let's check. Anyway, long story short, both sides checked each other out and it worked. And they got married and they have two children today. Like, come on. If the Eibishter needs a shidduch to happen, it will happen no matter what, whether it's a computer, whether it's the neighbor, or we heard of the postman in Crown Heights that made a shidduch. It will come. I remember, I'm going to tell you another one. I gave a speech to Chitrik Seminary a couple of years ago. A big Zoom, everybody sat in the room, 100 girls, and they put a big screen. And I talked to them about shidduchim. Afterwards, the girl that was there, that was one of the madrichot, calls me up and said, I'd like an interview with you. Because I explained to them what I do. I do an interview for 2 hours. I like to interview the single because a lot of people are telling me throughout the years, you know, the Shadchan, they give you a name and they just throw you anything that comes up on their table. And, you know, I'm getting burnt out emotionally burnt out from all these names that people just throw at me and it's not even Shaykh. I don't like the whole Shadchan business, you know, I'll find them alone. And they get really frustrated. Mothers get frustrated. The singles get frustrated that they're just getting names and it's not, you know, it's not fitting. So I decided to create this interview. The interview is 2 hours where I talk to the single and I get to know them extremely well. It goes very fast, the 2 hours. What we accomplish by the end of the 2 hours is I get down to the bottom of understanding their 5 deal breakers, the 5 most important milus values that they're looking for in a spouse, the 5 most important things. We come to the 5 and we're very, very excited because now I know exactly what she needs. And then I put those 5 things, I put everything into a database. And I tell the single that I finished speaking for 2 hours, I say, listen, what I need you to do is contact me every 2 weeks with one word, available or I'm dating. And until you're engaged, I'm also a dating coach. So I help coach up until engagement, until you're engaged. I help coach, like answer questions or give you guidance and support. Why am I telling you this? Because this girl that was a dorm counselor by Chitrik Seminary that was listening to my talk said to me, I want the interview. I want to figure out what the 5 things, the most important things that I need. I think I want 20 things or 10 at least. But 5, that's going to be hard. How can I come up with 5? At the end, we have the five deal breakers, and I say, listen, I wish you good luck. The Eivishter is going to help make this happen. 48 hours later, I get a call from a lady in Israel saying, I have a wonderful son. Maybe you have a shidduch for me. I said, I don't know him. Let me interview him. Let me get to know who he is so I could get his five deal breakers, the five values that he needs most. She goes, no, values, I don't need anything like that. He's a good boy. Here's his profile. Try, see if you know anybody. I say, fine. And then I'm thinking, the girl I met, that girl from the seminary, was Friday afternoon, my Friday. Sunday, 2 days later, a boy's profile in Israel. Come on, maybe there's something to it. So I send that profile over to the girl, to her mother. I send her profile over to that lady that called me Sunday from Israel, from her wonderful son. And sure enough, to make a long story short, they were a match. And they're happily married and they have a beautiful little child now. And the Eivishter comes to the party when it's the right time. That's what I'm trying to say. We don't have to worry about it. We don't have to try, you know, go around and scream and feel stressed and like, why is it not happening to me? Or feel this. Don't worry, relax. We do our bit. And I'm going to tell you what we could do, okay? I'm going to tell you, because I'm a shatchan, I'm a dating coach, and I have a lot of tips, a lot of advice, what you could do to help the Eivishter come to your party to make it happen for you. Okay, so the first most important thing is for you to identify what it is you want, because a lot of times when a single comes back from a date, when they come back from a date, they say to me, I don't know, he's very good, he's very nice, he's very charming, but I don't know, yeah, I'll go out again. I say, did you match up the values? I don't know, we didn't talk about values. So this is somebody that I didn't do a shidduch, I'm talking to them. If they don't know what their values are, if you don't know what you want, how are you going to know if you got it? Meaning, we need, you know, you go out to buy a laptop, you go out to buy a car, a cell phone, a house. You make a lot of research. We ask a lot of questions. We don't just go into any store or real estate and say, give me anything. I'll feel it. When I see it, I'll know. That doesn't work. We need to be proactive and work out before you go on a date what exactly you need. What is the most important values that you will not settle for without? Like, it's, I call it not negotiable. We cannot negotiate those values. What are they? Your five deal breakers. You need to know what they are. And I tell people to use those five every time you come back from a date. You look at your paper and you say, I got three of them out of the five, but the other two, I'm not sure. I didn't check out his honesty or being responsible, or is he emotionally stable? Let me see. I don't know. I'm not convinced. So you have something to come back to know whether you're meeting the right person or not. It's not just about whether you're comfortable with him. The values must match. And of course, we have to be comfortable. We have to have some, you know, feelings and chemistry and attraction, 100%. But the values must match. And if you want, I could explain you, how do we check those values? How do you find out if somebody is actually that, whatever it is you want? How do we find? We don't ask them. That's not going to happen. They could say yes to everything and you'll never know. Hold on to that question. We'll come back to it later. It's a very good question. So, I'm going to tell you a few things that you could do to help your shidduch, to help his shidduch happen. Number one, and I gathered all these suggestions from 40 years of speaking to so many people. This is the end. You're getting it all in 20 minutes. Everything that I got for 30 years, 40 years, I'm going to give it to you in 10 minutes, 20 minutes. Here it goes. Number one, I found that this works extremely well. Now, mark my word, very important, only family and friends, okay? Not everyone in the world, and not all the WhatsApp groups. Family and friends, once a month, one time, every 4 weeks, you send them a reminder, and it goes like this. Hi, I'd like to remind you that my daughter Chani is available for Shidduch. This is what she's looking for, because they all know who she is. Remember, family and friends, close friends. So you say, I'm just reminding you that Chani is available and this is what she's looking for. And here is her profile. Can you stop for 1 minute and think about my Chani? That's it. Send this to 20, 30 people that are close to you, family and friends. I promise you, it does so many miracles because so many people came back to me and said, you know what? Every month when I got that, I started remembering Chani. I started remembering I have a niece, I have a friend, I have a neighbor, Chani. And they come up with ideas. If you remind them, okay? They need reminders. Next, the shatchan. If you choose one or two shatchans that you like very much, write to them very, very short. Every 2 weeks, write a message. Hi, just reminding you, my daughter Chani is available. I really appreciate your help. That's it. When a shatchan gets the reminder that day, you never know. Somebody just called her and they're thinking maybe for that boy, and your Chani is on her mind. You can't just sit back and relax and wait. You got to do stuff. You got to do things, okay? So far I told you, you need to figure out what your 5 deal breakers are. The next thing I told you is to make what I call it a WhatsApp blast, to send out a WhatsApp to all your close family and friends. And your shatchan every 2 weeks, a reminder. The next thing I'm going to tell you is to do one thing a day towards your shidduch or your daughter's shidduch or your son's shidduch. One thing a day. So if you're in the grocery store or you're on the phone, you mention it to one person, just one action a day, one thing a day towards the shidduch. You do one thing a day, that's 7 days a week, that's 7 things you did that week for your child. Don't sit back and relax and say, the Eibishter will take care of it. He will, but he needs your finger. He'll give you a hand. So you need to do one thing a day. Maybe a phone call to the shatchan, maybe a phone call to a friend, maybe that WhatsApp I told you about to the close family and friends. Think what you could do one thing a day towards your child's shidduch. Do what? Maybe tehillim, maybe tzedakah. Okay? Next, another idea. When a shidduch doesn't work out for you, for your child, ask your child, ask the single, say to them, now that you know the guy very well, you went out for 4 hours, if it's not for you, maybe for a friend of yours, somebody else that you know. That is a wonderful keli. The Eibishter will see that you're making a keli. You're trying to help someone else get a shidduch. So every time if a shidduch doesn't work for you, think, who could it work for? I know 10, 20 people that a shidduch happened because of that, because they thought of someone else and it worked really well with the other person. Next, I call the first date the awkward first date. Awkward meaning like very uncomfortable, the first date. Everybody that's married knows that first date was very uncomfortable because you're just not yourself. I highly encourage everyone to encourage your single, your friend, everyone should consider a second date no matter what, even if it didn't work. Because nobody is comfortable that first date. We need to get past that first awkward date. Once we get past it, we go on the second date, then you could maybe judge and say, okay, fine, I agree. It's okay, fine, it's not for you. But how many shidduchim do you know? I know at least 20 that it was the second date that helped them get to the third date and they got engaged eventually. But they didn't want to go out a second time. How many people do you know that said, nope, after the first date, Oh, no, I'm not going out again. And they were convinced to try a second time. And I know at least 20 people that it happened to. I encouraged them to go out a second date. I said, I won't ask you after, but give it one more chance. Because the people are a bit nervous, you know. It's uncomfortable. It could be the first time. You know, that's people. It's called the awkward first date. So please give a second date a chance. Next. I think one of the biggest keys of having a successful date or ending up in an engagement, one of the biggest keys is the research that we make on the other person. What do I mean? There's so many things I want to say about that, but how to make those phone calls, how to call up somebody that's on the ref. By the way, the profile that comes with 3 or 5 references, they're good people that know this girl very well. They're only going to say amazing things. How are you going to find out the truth? Okay? So one answer to that is ask those people to give you a non-reference. Someone that's not on the references. Say, hi, Mrs. Shapiro. You're on the reference for Khani so-and-so. I'd like to talk to you about her. And who else knows her very well? You know her well because you're on her profile. Who else knows her well? And get another 1 or 2 names with phone numbers from those references that are not on her profile. Those are the people you want to talk to. Why didn't they put them on the profile? Then you'll get a little bit more insight into the person. That's number one. Number two. When you make that phone call to Mrs. Shapiro, and you know she's going to speak very well of Khani, right? When you make that phone call, this is what I recommend, and it really gives away the answer. Look for the first reaction that she is going to give. The very first reaction. For example, you want to find out if Khani is very good-hearted or kind. Mrs. Shapiro, you're on the profile for Khani Schwartz, and I want to know what you could tell me about her being kind, going out of her way for other people. So, first of all, we never ask yes and no questions. Always ask open-ended questions. Questions that they will have to talk a lot to explain themselves. So we don't say, is Khani a kind girl? Did you find her going out of her way for other people? They're going to answer yes or no. They're never going to say no. So we're not getting any truth. So what I do, what I like to do is say, okay, hi, Mrs. Shapiro, you're on Khani's profile. Can you give me a few examples of Khani going out of her way for other people, like, you know, doing chesed, kindness? Can you give me some examples? Now, if the lady, Mrs. Shapiro, hesitates and thinks for a whole minute, I don't know. She's a nice girl. I can't remember. That's one answer. That's the first thing that came out of her mouth. The second kind of answer, the next answer she could give is, Khani, oh my gosh, she's the one that took my children to the hospital and stayed up with them every night. She's the one that stays behind Shabbos and cleans up. It will all come pouring out of her mouth right away. That first reaction is the one you want. And make sure it's open-ended, not yes and no questions. I'll give you a few more ideas, and then we'll open the floor for questions. Okay? The Rebbe says, very important to consider, if someone's having a hard time with the shidduch, to consider, did I hurt somebody one time and I didn't apologize? Maybe we ended in a bad way and I just walked away from a shidduch and he really thought it was going to happen and I never explained myself or the shadchan never made it clear. Maybe I hurt somebody. The Rebbe says to make sure to look back in your history if you ever hurt anybody's feelings and if maybe something is a question to call up and ask forgiveness. So this can clear the way to continue and have hatzlacha in shidduchim. Here's another idea. To consider revisiting old ideas. Like a year ago, somebody said the name Shlomi, whatever. for your daughter, and you said, nah, she's just starting. That's not the type she's looking. Maybe a year later, maybe Shlomi is a good idea for her. So when somebody suggests an idea that you already visited a year ago, be open-minded and reconsider old ideas, because I've seen shidduchim happen when people were open-minded enough to reconsider ideas that were mentioned a long time ago and you said, no, but really it turned out to be the right one, okay? Another idea to help be successful in shidduchim is to be open-minded enough to stretch your boundaries. I have sometimes a guy, a bacher, that's 5'7". A bacher that's 5'7". And this bacher says, I will not date a girl that's the same height like me or higher, like 5'8". Or if there's a girl that's 5'8", she says, I won't date anybody under 5'8". I beg everyone to consider stretching your boundaries. Maybe consider a few inches this way or a few inches that way. You know, because you never know who your Basharit is. Listen to the important stuff. Don't make that a deal breaker. And the same with the age. The Rebbe said, within 10 years, right? So you never know. You never know where your Basharit is. Don't put so many boundaries and restrictions. Next. This is probably the biggest tip that I could give you. If you ask me, give me the biggest secret to have a better successful dating experience. This would be my biggest secret, okay? The biggest idea, if you want to know what it is. From all the ideas, this is the biggest one. When you go out on a date, I'm going to say it very slow so you all hear me and understand me. Listen more than you talk. I'll explain what I mean. Listen, that means keep your mouth shut and open your ears. Listen more than you talk. What does that mean? When somebody is talking to you, okay, so you're Chani, okay, and you're dating this guy, Yossi, and Yossi is talking, and he's telling you his experiences. He's telling you, and I went to camp, and you want to stop a little bit and say, me too, or yeah, that happened, yeah, I get you. Oh, I remember, was that your brother? There's a lot of interrupting that might get you excited. Do not interrupt the other person. Listen without interrupting. Don't say one word, but I'll tell you what you could say. When he finishes giving you his talk, whatever he's saying, you repeat back to him exactly what he said, but in your own words. I want you to acknowledge what he just said. Don't jump into your opinion or your thoughts or what happened to you, your experience. He doesn't even know if you really heard him. How many times did we come back? I know, just last week, a girl comes back from a shidduch and she goes, I'm breaking off the shidduch because he doesn't listen to me. I go, what do you mean? She went out on 5 dates with him. Everything matches up, the deal breakers, everything is wonderful, but the values I'm talking about, but one thing is happening is he's not listening to her. When she talks, he interrupts. He tries to impress her, make it exciting for her to explain his point. And he's not listening. She says, I'm sorry, Mrs. Lita, can I change my deal breaker to a good listener? I said, do you have it there? Somebody that can have a conversation, a good conversationalist, a good listener? And she said, no. So she was able to take off. I said, you have permission, take off something else and put a good communicator and a good listener there. Someone that has patience to hear you, because you're going to suffer later in life. You're going to say, my husband's never there. He doesn't hear me. This is super important that I'm not telling you to fake it. We could just become it. If you're aware of it, be it. Listen to the other person without interrupting. When they finish telling you their story, their stuff, Repeat back to them what you just heard in your own words. For example, Yossi says to Chani, "So I flew on the plane, and after it was delayed, I was so tired, and I looked in my bag, there was no food. I was starving." Okay, I'm giving you a little example. After he finishes, that's the end of his conversation, she goes, "Whoa, that must have been so exhausting. You missed the flight, and you get on the flight." She's repeating back to him what he said. She's not telling her opinion. "And you open up your bags, you are so exhausted and tired, and you find no food. I can't believe what that must feel like." Get into his story and feel with him his story in your own words. That is the greatest feeling another person can have, that somebody's there with them on the same page, in sync, feeling it, hearing it. Then after he feels really listened to and understood, you could then say, "Do you feel that I got you? I understood you." And he says, "Sure, you really got me." Then you could say your story. Then you have a chance to talk. But I found that this quality of listening and keeping your mouth closed, don't interrupt, to be the greatest value, that's also destroying shidduchim, by the way, where people aren't listening. So take note. Now I'm going to continue. Confidentiality. Very important that we don't share our dating experiences with all our even close friends, or at least the names. Because how many times I'd have a bachar call me and say, "So Miss Leader, who do you have for me? You have any ideas?" And I give a name and he says, "Oh, my friends spoke really bad. They had bad experiences with that girl." I am in shock. What? Everybody is put on a table and ripped apart. Like, that girl wasn't good for him, fine. For the friend, fine. But who says it's not good for you? She's going to get married to somebody and she'll be good for someone. Don't lashon hara anything about your dates to anyone, ever. These are things that could help lead you to date successfully. Do you want to know about red flags? What to look out for in red flags? I'm just talking and I have no feedback or anything, but that's fine because that's what today is. But I'm more than happy to take all the questions after, okay? In about 5 minutes, you could, you know, put the questions and answers there and Adelia will help me out with the questions and I will answer them in 5 minutes. Let's go through a few red flags, okay? What is a red flag? What should I look out for that could be a red flag? Very important one, a big one, my number one. Does that person respect their parents? If they speak low of their parents, or they speak in a way that they put down their parents, even if it's true, but there's no respect for their parents, I would call that a red flag. Adelia, do you want to say something? Do you want to come in? Do you want to, should we take a break or something for a second?
Yeah. No, I think you should keep on going. Keep on going.
Okay.
It's fine. It's very interesting.
Okay, great. Another red flag. So one red flag is how they respect their parents, okay? Another red flag and the red flag doesn't mean it's bad. It means be aware, be alert. Beep, 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 an alert, okay? The second red flag, I would say, is does that person that you're dating make eye contact? Are they avoiding eye contact? That is a red flag. Why are they not making eye contact? Another red flag, are they always late on the dates? I'm not saying it's bad and it's not going to work. Just be aware that that's not a good sign. It's not bad again. Maybe he'll always be late for the rest of your life, but he's got so many other milas that outweigh it. It's fine. You could live with it, maybe. It's just called a red flag. That means be aware if somebody's always late on the dates. If somebody has a secretive past and they just don't want to go there ever in the entire dating experience, they never want to go into their past, I would call that a red flag. Why? What are they hiding? Why aren't they sharing? Another one, how they treat strangers, like the Uber driver. Do they say thank you and please? How do they talk to the waiter? How do they talk to the man that opens the door? Or any stranger in a social scene, how do they behave? That is something to look out for, how they treat strangers. Another red flag is if they make you wrong. You know, even once or twice isn't very, very pleasant, but if you come out of your dates feeling like he's always making me wrong and he's making himself right, that is a major red flag. Okay, those are a few. I'm going to go to another few more ideas. This is a big one that I very, very, I hold for very high, on a very high platform, that is, has been detrimental. Engagements have been broken because people are doing this. What is it? Texting while dating is an absolute taboo, meaning no, 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 no. Please discourage, if you're a mother, if you're single, do not allow, do not text during dating to each other or during engagement. These are very, very, very hypersensitive moments of your life. And every word is being looked at and translated, interpreted, and can be misinterpreted in the wrong way, because you can't really feel an emotion in a text. A text is a word and it's cold. And don't use emojis. Please don't use emojis. I'm telling you that I've been witness as a shadchan to engagements that broke up and dating that broke up because he did not text her back in time to say what a wonderful date last night was, or she was sitting all day waiting for his text and he wasn't well, whatever. Miscommunications came out of texting. Please make it a rule in the beginning, no texting until further notice, meaning until you're married. There is allowance for texting only for very important information, like technical stuff, like her address is 8505 Montgomery Street. Like, that is okay to put an address, but no words and no sentences. Get it? Okay, I hope you listen. I hope it works for you. What can I tell you? Another tip, keep the shadchan in the loop. That means involved all the time till the very end, till engagement. How many times the singles know that they're going to get engaged and they go, let's drop the shadchan. We don't need her anymore. We'll do this ourselves. We're good, right? And it turns out to be that they needed that third party to clear some air where there was misunderstanding, misinterpretation. Somebody didn't get the other one. What did he mean by that? Because they were communicating way too quickly with each other. Absolutely keep the shadchan in the picture up until the end. You will have a very peaceful dating experience by doing that. I'm talking just from my experience, okay? You could do whatever you want. But from my experience, this is the best advice that I gathered from all these years. I have more. I have so much more. I could go on forever. Let me see. What can I tell you? Okay. I have a website which Adelia put up here, okay? It says here, if you look, TobyDatingCoach.com, you see www? In this website is lots and lots and lots of ideas and articles to help you have a better dating experience and everything to do with dating. And if you go, I want to share with you one great idea that you could go to. In this website, you go in there, you go to the top right, and it says menu, and you click the menu where it says articles. You click articles, it says dating. You go into the dating articles, about 20, 30 articles for dating. The first one will say dating game. I think it's the first one. dating game is an amazing game that you could play. Bring it with you on the date. I made it up with my sister. It took us a whole year. We created all these questions, 200 questions that are open-ended questions. You could even play it in school or at a birthday party, at a social event. You could play it anywhere because it's not dafka about dating, but it's mostly about getting to know the other person and how they think and what's important to them. So they're all open-ended questions, and there are two ways you could play this game. And I recommend it like the second date or the third date. Around in the beginning, when you see if it's going well and you really want to get to know the other one more, this is what you want to bring. So one thing you could do is print off the questions, the 200 questions. You print it, you cut it out, each question, and you fold it and put it into a little gift bag, and you bring it on the date and say, let's play this game. And you take turns, random, each one takes a turn. Whatever you pick out, you answer. Like, for example, who do you admire most in your family and why? And the person has to answer whatever they pick up. If you don't want to answer, you could put it back and take another one. But that's one way you could play the game, and it's wonderful. I've only heard amazing, incredible feedback. Everybody says it takes the dating to another level when they play this game, because you get to know the other person so well. With the game asking the questions, you don't have to ask. The game is asking. It's wonderful. The other way you could play is an app. You'll see it's there. There's an app that you could both use your cell phone and do it through an app. And it goes that way. You'll see it there. There's also tips and ideas and videos and all sorts of things in the website, okay? So that's my name on top, my email, if you want to email me a question. That's my website. Instagram, I have some stuff there. And if you would like to make an appointment with me for an interview for 2 hours so I get to know you, you invest in a shatran. And now after the 2 hours, I put you in my database, which means I know you very well and I know everybody else that I interviewed very well. And I try to match you up with somebody else that I know very well. So that is my WhatsApp. And that's the best way to get a hold of me, through WhatsApp. That's my information. I need to tell you one more thing I forgot. If you're a parent, or even if you're a single, you could still do this. It's very important to keep the shatran happy. And I once had a situation where Bachar, after I sent him out on a date, he sends me $100 in PayPal, like that. I call him up and I say, thank you, maybe it's a mistake. Why did you send me $100? He said, I have a custom that I'd like to thank the shatran for sending me out on one date. And so I give them a thank you. That's my way of saying thank you. And I thought it was so nice. And I still had another 5 children to marry off. So I was doing that for the next 5 children. Every time a shatran sent one of my children out on a date, you know, if they made it to the first date, I sent them $100 just to say thank you. You have no idea. I am dealing with about 400 singles. And the ones that say thank you, I'm not saying $100. It could be a thank you note. It could be a box of chocolates. It could be flowers for $10. It's the idea of showing appreciation to the shatran. I have a few such people that are always on my mind because they went out of their way to make me happy as a shatran. It really, really, really makes a difference when you feel appreciated. And like I say, it doesn't have to be a lot of money. It could be $18. It could be $10. It could be just the thought, just to share a thought of thanks and appreciation, gratitude to the shatran, even a note. How much can a note cost? You know what I mean? It makes a difference to shatran. Then I will immediately put you on the top of the list of people that I want to help. It's a natural reaction. So I'm telling you now, that's one of the ways to be able to get the shatran to help you get your dates, is give them a little bit of gratitude and appreciation. Okay, I'll take questions now because I think I spoke a lot. Okay, let's take some questions.